Ghosts, Apparitions, and Hauntings, Part 2. Hello again, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are all right and doing very well. My name is Marie Soirou. This is the second part about ghosts. I suggest you see the first part as well, if you haven't already, as I give there the necessary concepts to understand this second part. At death, there is no destruction of the ego, of the identity and of the awareness of a person, as who we are is not a product of the body, it only serves as a translator to bring the soul into the physical, material world, so the biological body is more like a suit or a ship even, to be able to be, to exist in the physical, and the soul is more of a signal from source. And not a thing with mass, as many have stated when they say that they have measured the weight of the soul at 20 grams as it leaves the body of a dying person. This weight loss, in my opinion, may be more of a combination of several things, including the loss of air in the body as the lungs empty completely, combined with an energy loss caused when the etheric body leaves the biological one, when the consciousness of the subject can no longer work through the biological body. The etheric body is not the soul, it is only a lighter manifestation coming from it, as seen from the point of view, or the context of the astral realms. The physical body and the etheric body are both manifestations of how a soul, a person, sees him or herself, based on all the attachments it has to what defines him or her as an individual. As a soul gathers experiences through several lifetimes where it has been many different creatures and of both genders, as it goes along it progressively attaches itself to what defines it best, its characteristics and the meaning it gives to them, all based on the experiences it has had in each lifetime, and this ends up generating an identity self, which the soul gets strongly attached to. These attachments and their meanings, which are basically ideas, are transferred to the next incarnation in a biological body, whose characteristics are also the result, the reflection, and the consequence of the soul's attachment to those ideas, and where DNA in its crystalline nature is the first materialization or manifestation coming from those ideas, and from where the basic building blocks of biological life spawn from. As I've explained before, there is no material world, as it is also part of the astral. What sets them apart is only the experience each soul is having, where it places its attention, which in the case of the material realm, that attention is forcefully restricted into a narrow bandwidth of things, sensations, and experiences the soul can only experience through the biological body's 5 or 6 senses. Adding to the result of the reality filtering process the body gives the soul, we can also add whatever the technology in the material side can detect, as also part of the material realms of existence, technology which a soul can only experience through those 5 or 6 biological senses again. Therefore, what defines the material world are those 5 or 6 biological bodily senses. Furthermore, another characteristic that heavily defines the material realms is the temporal frame they exist in. The linearity of the experience we have while in a body, the sequence of events we experience, as some being the cause of others which preceded them. But this is defined only by the agreements of perception about time individual souls have when they enter physicality, the very cycles of the planet, night and day, and even more, the artificial timekeeping machines we call clocks and watches, are what strongly synchronize our perception of time, giving us all the illusion that the duration of an hour or of a minute is the same for everyone, yet it never is. The 5 or 6 biological senses acting as a perception filter for the soul to have a limited experience, summed with the apparent linearity and duration of time, are what generates the material world, the world of the living, therefore it is just an illusion. Thoughts become ideas, and ideas breed attachment to them, When that attachment becomes strong enough and repetitive enough, it starts to form, it starts to materialize into existence in the world of the living, first as energy, and then as hard matter. Thoughts become things. This is why it is much easier to manifest a situation than an object, generalizing of course, because it also depends on what situation and what object we may be talking about, and the ideas the subject or the soul has to them, such as the level of difficulty each one of those is supposed to have, what defines them and so on. Although strictly speaking, any situation and any object are always equally easy to manifest, and the ideas and concepts of who is manifesting them would be the only limitations. A soul's ideas are its only limitation because as a soul is source, it is capable of everything. When a person with a soul dies, it removes its attention from those 5 to 6 biological senses, and can only experience its own existence through the astral body, which I define as a less dense version of the material biological one, but still the result of how that soul sees itself and what defines it as an individual. Death is not the end of consciousness or of the ego identity and self, it is only the end of those dense biological processes we call a physical body. As the soul loses its perception filter we call a body, it can only perceive what is around it through the filter of its own mind, and its ideas which breed attachments and limitations, which also generates the astral body and all that defines it. This is why ghosts have genders, as they are part of the self-concept that soul had when alive, and will continue to have while in the astral. Time is no longer linear when in the astral, or only when something, like an event, is being observed from there, or is occurring there. In the astral, there is no greater time synchronizing mechanism, as the only reference for it is the experience of the subject there, with little more to use as a reference, such as day and night, although those are not experienced the same way as from the world of the living. As there is no time as such in the astral, souls there are functioning only within their perception frame, and not from any from the material world. Therefore when someone alive sees a ghost, it does not mean that that soul is trapped there in that haunted place, even though that same soul may have been reported as having been seen for decades. Those would be decades only from the point of view and experience of people in the world of the living, and not from the point of view of what is being experienced while in the astral, where that soul as a ghost may be passing through that place only once or a few times, while in its process of realizing that it must move on to the afterlife, or back to source itself. The time loop a ghost may apparently be in, only exists when seen from the side of the living. Even though life and its roles are ultimately only a play where enemies in life are best of friends in the afterlife, where they agreed to play different roles before they incarnated, this would apply only from the point of view of the higher astral planes with very high vibration. But the experiences a soul goes through while in the game of life can cause it to develop attachments to things, places, and a personality during its process back into higher astral places. When an evil person dies, he or she will continue to be evil on the other side, and when a beautiful loving person dies, he or she will also continue to be so on the other side. Who they are does not change. When a sudden or violent death occurs, the soul may not have enough time to realize that he or she is dead. Their mind and manifestation strength may be strong enough to appear alive to some people who witnessed the accident, and even talk to them, sometimes asking them to deliver a message to their loved ones, before their life energy fully dissipates into the astral. This has been reported in innumerable cases all over the world. The recently deceased may roam the world of the living for some time in the places it developed attachments to, especially to the place where they died as they have to process what happened. That attachment may be caused by their feelings of fear, anguish, resentment, and anger, understandably so in murder cases, but not only, because the reasons are as diverse as all those souls are, as they are nothing other than more people. One of the things that defines the lower astral best, it's its quality as a caricature or a bad copy of the material side, and that also includes a similar perception of time, but only when someone in the astral is observing events happening on the side of the living, in a linear way. As I've explained before, the lower astral and all other astral planes of existence are full of all kinds of creatures and entities, some of which may have once been alive in a biological body, human, animal or not, and are now disincarnates, but most are astral entities that have never been in a biological body of their own, or only as a parasite of one. Entities and souls in the lower astral, those who were once alive and those who never have been, have a strong tendency to form clans and tribes which are mostly like street gangs, where they organize around a master to achieve what they need and want, mostly exploiting people and animals in the side of the living, for their energy and manifestation power while in fear. A recently dead person in the lower astral can see all those entities and may even interact with them, but it will always depend on the frequency and vibration of one another. This enables the recently deceased person to see how those entities prepare their treacherous plans to cause accidents and bad things to happen to people in the world of the living, in the way explained in my other videos about the paranormal, for example, the ones I published about the portals we all make, where I describe in detail how those astral entities can cause accidents like traffic incidents, in places or spots in the world of the living, which have such a low frequency that it permits the lower astral to bleed into the material world. An example of this would be some specific dangerous road crossings which have an unusually large amount of irrational accidents occurring there. As the recently dead person has a strong attachment to his or her family members who remain alive, they tend to follow them around simply to be with them in their process of saying goodbye, but from their astral point of view, they can see all the movements of the entities, which surround live people all the time, and they can foresee the evil plans and traps those entities may be setting up for them. As people with love in their souls, they hold a much higher vibration than those evil entities, and as those are plainly visible for the positive recently deceased soul, they do not cause any fear in it. This enables the positive dead person with high vibration to protect those which he or she loves, and who still remain in the world of the living. Our ancestors protect us from evil entities and their bad intentions towards us, so we must honor them and love their memory, as they are literally still with us even though we cannot see them directly with the biological body's 5 or 6 senses, but we can feel them with us many times. They become some of our guiding angels, always remembering that the main guide in our lives is ourselves, both in life and from above in the timeless spaces of the higher astral, where our higher self resides, and from where it guides us. Those gangs formed by lower astral entities will always use places like old houses and buildings to be in, especially if those places hold a low vibration as it favors them. Places with a lot of history, especially those with a lot of suffering, keep a low frequency which propitiates entity infestations. As seen from the point of view of the world of the living, the vibration or the frequency of each place, each house or building is different, depending on its history and on who lives inside it. Many positive people like starseeds know this, calling their house, their space, their little bubble of protection from the hostile outside world. Same way, old houses and buildings with a sad and bad low frequency past will also hold a low vibration bubble, which as always tends to lower everything and everyone which may enter them. This is exploited by all those gangs of negative entities and disincarnates because it brings the world of the living closer in vibration to their own in the lower astral, enabling them to interact more with whoever is alive and has entered there. As everything is frequency and vibration concordance, entering those low frequency places will make it easier to see and experience ghosts and apparitions, as well as all other kinds of paranormal activity. Those places also keep a low frequency and vibration, not only because of the presence of those lower astral entities but also because the materials the structure was built with, such as stone, also help keep the frequency. Matter is programmable, especially crystals, many of which may be present in the molecular structure of any common construction stones. Expecting to watch a ghost or an entity, wherever that may be, does bring them towards you, as your imagination, your thoughts and ideas are vibration, so you are literally calling them towards you with your thoughts and intentions, especially if you are thinking of them in fear, and wherever you may be at the time. Your attention feeds the ghosts, be they good or bad, it does so all the same. When in the lower astral a ghost or an entity with the intention of interacting with the material side, needs to concentrate energy with its intention and with other means to be able to cause a reaction, to move something for example, which is on the side of the living. This is why they tend to gravitate towards energy sources such as electric and magnetic currents which act as frequency and energy boosting for them. Remember, everything that exists is based on frequency and vibration, as emanating from consciousness. And those entities will also tend to gravitate or to be around people with similar vibrations to theirs. That's why bad living people are always infested with astral parasites. But in general, even good spirits tend to be around people who are sensitive to them, many of whom are called mediums, because they help them interact, or send a message into the material world, even if the message may simply be as simple as that they exist and that they are around. Many spirits, souls, and entities in other planes of existence, lower or higher astral, also work through those people who are sensitive to them, as inspiration, and also through channelings. This is precisely why it is called inspiration, from in spiritu, or with a spirit inside. But bear in mind that everyone who is alive in a biological body is channeling, mostly channeling his or her higher self, but not only, as we are all also receiving many thoughts and vibrations from the collective unconscious even if we don't realize it and, in a subconscious way, as I explained in previous videos. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking and subscribing for more. I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. Be very well and take care. With much love. Your friend, Marie Soirou.